There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We are talking today with Karen Bobka, financial consultant and senior partner with Holborn Assets. She's here to hold our hands, I hope, through understanding our financial priorities and also asking you today, are you in debt? Do you have debt? How much debt? I don't know if you want to share that with us, but of course you can remain anonymous. But just out of interest, do you consider yourself to have a debt? Now, this could be anything from a small amount on a credit card to a large amount on a credit card, or more than that. Maybe you have bank loans or you're owing suppliers or whatever it may be. So how do you consider yourself when it comes to your finances? One, hello, good morning to you, Karen.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. It seems a while since we spoke because I've been away and then...
Yes, actually, it's a couple of months, isn't it, since we've done a show together.
Yeah. But, you know, financially, people will maybe spending a little bit more through the summer, maybe not. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a time for people to sort of kick back a little bit because it's quieter, so maybe we're not out as much as we usually are.
Well, I think there are fewer events on this time of year, so the big ticket events aren't on, are they? But of course people are spending money by travelling. We've had the summer exodus. I think a few people are starting to drift back now.
Yes, I noticed the roads are a little bit busier this morning. Yeah, for sure.
And that's maybe a shame, because I do like the quietness of summer here and not being stuck in traffic jams going places.
That's right. So how are the finances, particularly after maybe coming back off your leave, off holiday, and you're here to help. Karen's here to help on any issues when it comes to your personal finances. She helps people with insurance, medical insurance, along with inheritance as well, or wills, savings, investments, and planning for your retirement, and of course debt management as well. And we're going to be looking at debt management in a little while. But first off, Karen, I'm looking at your blog, Financial Planning in the UAE, Financial UAE, that's the name of it. So priorities, what do you consider is on the list of financial priorities?
Right, I've got quite a list here. I mean, and I wanted to focus on this really because I think it's hard sometimes to prioritise. You know you've got a list of things that you probably ought to deal with, but what really is most important? What should you be focusing on? So the point of the article is try and narrow that down and give people pointers. But very top of my list, above and beyond anything, is building up an emergency fund.
EF.
Yeah, call it what you like. You know, you'll get out of jail free money, quite literally, your cash cushion, you name it, but it's having money to fall back on. And that comes above paying off your debts, I think.
Oh.
Provided you are meeting the minimum payments of all your debts, I still think the priority for everybody should be to have some money set aside for your just if and what in case type things. And the amount of times I know I've said that financial planning is about, you know, being ready for things that go wrong. And so even if you have debts and you're paying them, if you can be building up some money to one side, so heaven forbid you are made redundant or there's some huge expense, you've got something to fall back on and you're not going to start getting into arrears on your debt. That's why it's so important.
Okay, so what are you suggesting is your emergency fund? Is it a percentage of your salary? Is it, is it just what you can afford each month to put aside?
Well, you start with what you can afford. If there's nothing there at all, you've got to slowly build this up. You're not, magically going to have a huge amount from day one. But if you can start putting a bit of money away and build up, and I think really living here, because we really don't have a safety net, there isn't a system in place to pick you up, really, that we should all have a minimum of 3 months outgoings, ideally 6 months, particularly if you've got children. It's easier to manage if you're single or if you're a couple. It's easier to cut back, but when you've got children in the mix as well, obviously we know children are expensive, so up to 6 months outgoings, not income but outgoings.
It's been across, a lot in the last few months, but I've really noticed it. Maybe I've had a bit more time looking across social media. I know you're very active on social media, Karen, but looking at sort of cost of living in the UAE and costs going up, and what seems to come through time and time and time again is if you have children in the UAE, what it costs to raise a child or even two or three children. So being a family here all together, school fees and everything else, it's really expensive. I mean, just on a monthly basis, what it takes to live before anything that's left over is quite considerable.
It is. And I think what we're seeing is a change in salary packages over the years. If you go back 10 years, so 15 years, there were a lot of people that were coming in on what we would call the old feather bed packages. So accommodation paid for, all school fees paid for. And now what I'm seeing is people often paying their own accommodation. Well, fine if the salary covers that, but it's the school fees. There are fewer and fewer people having 100% of school fees covered. So it might be they get an allowance towards that, or they have 80%, something like that paid. So you've got that coming up. And we know that school fees, particularly for the Western schools, okay, are very expensive. Plus, there's all the extracurriculars. And I know that parents at the moment will be rolling their eyes because they've got to be getting all the uniforms and all the other things. And I think certain schools require even bags and sports things to be branded and all of that. So it gets very, very expensive, particularly this time of year.
Yeah, for sure. So when you've got the, if you're saying you should have an emergency fund, this is as well as trying to build up savings. Is it a psychological thing, or is it a reality? Your emergency fund is not your per se savings.
No, that's absolutely right. This is entirely different from your long-term savings. This is something that you can get your hands on pretty quickly, within days if necessary, and certainly within a week or so. So it needs to, in many ways, it should stay in cash. Now, I know there's no interest, negligible interest payable. That doesn't matter. That's not the point of this. This is what you might need in the real emergency. For many people, it might be advisable to keep this money outside of the country, because if there's a redundancy and a final salary payment, a bank account could be frozen. That could be a problem. So you perhaps want an offshore account or an account in a home country. And it's very much a peace of mind thing to know that should something go wrong, if there are difficulties, you are going to be okay. And that's worth a lot.
So it's there on your list of financial priorities. Build up an emergency fund. Also sort out your paperwork and managing your budget. Of course, they seem obvious, but how many of us are really doing that on a monthly basis?
Probably not enough of us. I mean, these are boring things to do. They make no mistake about it. But it's not as painful as you think. So set aside an hour or two at the weekend, organise everything, write lists, do whatever format works for you, but be a little bit organised. And once you've gone through the pain of doing it once, it's just a case of updating down the line. But I think there's also many people who just aren't quite sure where their money's going every month. You know, you end up spending 50 dirhams here, 20 there, 100 there. That adds up. And maybe if you keep a note of it, and yes, I know it's dull, but keep a note of it, you'll get a better handle and manage your money a little better and have enough left over to do the emergency fund.
When we come back, we'll find out what else we should be considering when it comes to our financial priorities. If we've not mentioned it already, what's on your list of financial priorities? We're also going to be taking a look at managing debt, how to do that, how to recover from debt. If you are in serious debt and feeling the fear, Karen's here to help. How do you take the first steps to working your way out of debt if you can? And hopefully there's a way. And also, when we're looking at news headlines around the UAE over the last few months, bad debts in Dubai, can expats return without getting arrested? That was in the Gulf News. We've got stories from the national newspaper as well to share with you. We've also got steps to recover from financial disaster. It's our regular monthly financial checkup with Karen Bobka, financial consultant and senior partner with Holborn Assets. She's talking us through an article on her blog, Financial UAE. You can see the full list for yourself, but we're picking out some of the financial priorities we should be considering. What are your priorities? Do you have any? Do you think about that? Or at the moment, what's top of your list that you would like to see happening in your finances? Let us know on those numbers. We're also going to be taking a look at debt as well, managing debts and how to do so. Someone's texting here saying, I want to manage my debt and I'm ready to start a plan. How can I reach you to discuss more on how you can help me to plan for this? So great that you've reached out to us today, and you can absolutely reach Karen directly. We'll give you the details at the end of the show, but she is with Holborn Assets, and she does have, you can connect with her via her blog, which is Financial UAE. But stay listening, because we're going to be looking at some of those things you need to consider to work your way out of financial debt. But when it comes to our priorities, Karen, what else should we be thinking about?
Right. Well, number four on my list is repay those debts, which we'll go into in more detail shortly. But yes, it is important. We all know it's important. You're paying all that interest is a waste of money. So, that's pretty high up there. But you need to know where you are with your budget and everything before you can deal with that. So that's why it's actually fourth on my list for doing that.
Yeah. And I think for people to recognise that debt could be literally you know, 5,000 dirhams that's on your credit card, it's still a debt, isn't it? You've still got got to be paid back.
If you've borrowed it, you've got to pay it back. That's the rules. It's a fundamental that I think sometimes is a little overlooked here. Mm. But yes, you do.
Okay. What else do we need to consider?
Right. Number five, I've written wills. Have you organised wills? If you've got assets, and more importantly, if you have children, that is a topic that you need to be focusing on. Again, it's another one that people are quite reluctant to look at, partly because they're maybe unsure as to what they need to do and how they need to do it, or they maybe don't want to be sitting in lawyers' offices for hours on end on doing it. Well, we can make it a lot simpler than that. I've actually linked through to another article that I wrote a while ago that we discussed on the show about what steps people need to take and how to organise that. But it does matter. It is important. It doesn't, in most cases, have to be terribly costly, and it doesn't have to be overly complicated. So come and have a chat about that. Not a salesy thing, just to explain what you need to do and how you can organise it.
And if you don't have a will, what are the ramifications?
Well, you don't get a say in what happens to your assets if you die, and possibly what happens to your children should both parents die. That's what we're looking about. It's making sure that your wishes are followed.
And sometimes these are things that they're just overlooked. You know, busy lives, time seems to go really quickly. Yeah, I'll get round to that. But really, in the scheme of not only my finances, but life itself, that's something that keeps falling down the list of priorities.
Again, these things don't seem terribly exciting. So it's far more interesting to go and watch the latest episode of Game of Thrones or something, which I completely understand, rest assured. But it's got to be done, get it ticked off, and then you'll feel better about it.
It's rather like going to the dentist, really. Nobody wants to go. You're not. It's not a great experience, but you feel really good afterwards.
Yeah, feel smug about it afterwards. Yeah. That's a good thing.
Knowing it's all clear, teeth are clean and healthy. So it's like your finances are clean and healthy. Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't have to be that painful. It really doesn't. Following on for that, as another one that some people don't like to look at, is having life cover in place for a family. Not everybody needs life cover, but if you have debts, if you have children, then you do. Unless you've got, you know, millions upon millions of dirhams sitting there in assets, which most people don't. It's one of those things that you hope, like your car insurance, is a complete waste of money. But if a claim has to be made, best money ever spent, and it's about looking after your family. That's what it is. Not about the money per se, but what the money could do for your family. So for many people, particularly if they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, it's not that expensive. People are often quite surprised how expensive it isn't when we look at the cost for doing it. So having something in place is better than nothing.
Yes, and that's all right and good. But there is, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here, there is an emotion attached to that, isn't there? It's like when we talk about health insurance and going for regular checkups, and obviously I have a health show as well, and we're all for that. Why wouldn't you be? That, you know, but when you're looking at how much it might cost you, and it's adding in cost to your daily life or your monthly expenses, sometimes maybe, or do you tell me, can we overdo it? Are we over concerned? Are we paying beyond what we really need to be paying? Are we got too much cover, too many insurances, because we're just in case, because we've been sold on that emotional idea?
In all honesty, rarely. It's very rare that I come across someone who I would think would be overly insured. The question is, can you have too much money? In most cases, no. And I hear people saying, oh, I don't want to do it. It's the same argument I get with wills. Oh, I don't really want to talk about that. As if you're going to die because you've done it. That doesn't happen. There is not a jinx on these things. Possibly the opposite. You know that whole thing about, if I arrange travel insurance, nothing will happen to me. Bit like that, maybe.
So really, prioritize, get your house in order, and then you can move on from it and enjoy yourself.
Exactly. Tick it off, feel better about it. These are feel good things once they're done. People do feel a little bit like a weight has been lifted, and they've done the right things, that the nice, the kind, caring thing for their family.
Okay, anything else on your list?
Obviously, planning for your financial future, the long-term savings and investments, these are important. We do have to look after ourselves, but there is very much an order of priorities. And I come across situations quite regularly, which frankly annoys me, when I meet people who've got debt issues but have been sold an expensive savings plan, but they haven't been spoken to about managing the debt and protecting their family. And those things, all the things that could go wrong tomorrow or next week, are more important than what happens in 10 or 15 years' time. Now, I'm not saying it's not important to plan for the future, because obviously it really, really is. But this is the priority issue, and that's what I want to focus on. You deal with one thing, deal with all that, and then we can start looking about the future. That's not top of the list for anybody.
Well, take a look at the list for yourself in full on Karen's blog, Financial UAE, and then lots of other articles there as well to help you and guide you. People are texting in about debt and how to manage their debt. So let's move on. It's a big topic, and look at this. Now, I was doing my own little bit of digging about just generally about debt and how people get into debt, you know, some of the common reasons. What do you find when people come to you, Karen, how people have got into difficulties with their money?
I think that the main reason seems to be that people are using loans and credit cards to supplement income. In quite a lot of cases, it's because of redundancies and money's got very tight. So they've gone, well, I'll have to put it on the credit. I need to pay the school fees. I need to pay this. I'll have to put it on a credit card. So I understand that. But when it's purely to supplement a lifestyle because they want an expensive holiday or a designer bag or a fancy car, you have to kind of step back and go, is that essential? Is that a good thing to be doing? And I think in many cases the answer is no, but it's easy to fall into the trap of the proverbial keeping up with the Joneses here, isn't it?
I was looking at this story coming out of America, a gentleman who was sharing his story, how I recovered from over $30,000 in personal debt. For him, it started right at university. He said, I made a lot of financial mistakes, but the bottom line was I was living in debt pretty much off the bat with credit cards as a student. And I really was too immature to understand what they were and how to use them and to be responsible with money. And I was dining out, going to the best restaurants. I was on dates. I was buying lots of electronic gadgets and really having a great time. But he says here, I had no idea what I was in for. It typically happens with any bad habit or addiction. One day, the whole house of cards come crashing down all at the same time. And that's what happened to me. I could no longer keep up with my monthly minimum payments, and one by one my credit cards were closed for either non-payment or being over the limit.
Yeah, it's a common story. Now, this guy's in the US, so that's not a criminal offence in the same way that it is here. And that's why it's particularly important here, because it, unlike in many countries, it is a criminal offence. You could potentially end up in jail if you don't pay your debts. And that's why we're always going on about it's so important. You can't just walk away. It simply doesn't happen, and it is serious. Now, just because you miss one payment, that doesn't mean someone's going to drag you off. It doesn't work like that. So that's something I think it's important to make clear. Generally, how it happens with the banks is if you miss one payment, you're going to get a phone call from the bank saying, where's the money? Where are you going to settle up? Miss two payments, it's emails and phone calls. Miss three payments, that's when it gets very serious. That is where the banks have the option to register a police case against you. Now, if a police case is registered, does not mean you're going to have the police knocking at your door on the next day and hauling you off to jail. There are other steps that come into play there. It does have to go through the courts. There has to be a decision made. Partly, I would say it's probably an element of scare tactics to get people to do something about it. But there are cases where people have ended up in jail for non-payment of debt. Also, if you bounce a check on somebody, yes, you have the same consequences. Normally, the check can be represented another time, twice possibly, to give you time to put the payments together. And that, again, can end up in court and potentially people in jail. And there are people in jail in the UAE right now because of either bouncing a check or missing a whole load of payments. So burying your head in the proverbial sand is not going to get you anywhere. You have got to face up to this and do something.
We're going to help you with this if this is something worrying you, or just to learn more about the bigger picture when it comes to debt.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Now, we are talking about debt, and you are actually a mere mortal human being, Karen. I mean, sometimes, you know, one has to get realistic about situations. However, when we're talking about debt and it's a scary prospect, yes, we have to face up to our responsibilities. But, you know, it's an emotional thing, and sometimes circumstances, and when we're asking how people get into debt, it's not to be judgmental. It's about to understand how we're going to get you out of debt. Now, on the list is that I've got here, I don't know about who you come across in the UAE with your clients, Karen, but divorce is also a reason why people can get into debt. And we've got a couple of people that have texted in on this. Do you come across this very often?
I have done. It's complicated, isn't it? I mean, getting divorced, I mean, there's so many issues there, emotional and financial. What you then find is instead of one household, you've got two. So expenses are increased there. Maybe assets have to be split. Someone has to borrow money to pay off the other party. People living often, in reality, it's the woman living on a lower income with the children. That tends to be the way it happens. And it's tough. It's a very hard situation to be in.
Well, let's share this message with you. I recently went through a divorce and I'm facing huge substantial credit card debt indirectly due to this. While I still have to send money to my ex, is there any way I can reduce this debt? I tried getting a loan to clear everything, but I can't get this as my company isn't registered with the bank. I've also tried contacting different organisations, different banks involved to get a loan or reduce the debt, exploring my personal situation. But none of the banks seem to be able to help. Obviously, we don't know all of the circumstances for Karen to give you complete advice on the air, but just sort of taking this scenario, it does apply to many people in some ways. You're getting into difficulty with the credit cards, you move on to looking at getting a bank loan. Where does it end?
This can be a solution, but there are also huge dangers here. And I'll pick up on the point about the company being registered. If someone is prepared to really focus and do things properly, there is a logic in moving from having credit cards with very high rates of interest, and we've seen rates of interest of 30%. That's a scary number. Onto a personal loan with a much lower rate of interest where it's paid off over a number of years. The danger, however, is that those credit cards don't get cut up. And so then someone ends up with the personal loan and the credit cards and the cycle all starts again. But you've got to break that cycle. Now, I do know of cases where people who have faced up, cut up the cards, got rid of them, got the loan, and they're getting on the right track. So it does work and the banks will allow that, but within limits. There are limits as to what you can borrow. And there's a restriction from the central bank that came in a number of years ago that no one is allowed to have debt here that exceeds 50% of their income. So it's called the debt burden ratio that banks talk about. So, and that's a sensible limit. In some cases, it's probably still too high. It kind of depends on your income, but there are limitations. If you fit that, then in many cases, you are able to get a loan to do that. However, the issue that's been mentioned here is it depends on who you work for and which bank. Because of some issues we've had in certain industries, banks are looking twice at people in certain industries because there's less security of income. Or some smaller companies may not be registered with banks. So it can be harder. Now, that doesn't mean it's not possible to do that, but you may have to try other banks. You may end up paying a slightly higher rate of interest. But it very much depends on the total circumstances of what's viable there. Some banks may be more amenable than others to looking at this with a clearer eye rather than just ticking boxes.
Mm. The sort of basics, as in first place to start, is drawing up what all your incomings are and your outgoings are and being really honest about that, what you're spending every single month. And even the idea, I think sometimes as people get further and further into debt, it's almost like, well, it doesn't matter if it's 500 dirhams here or 1,000 dirhams there, but actually every dirham counts to getting you on the road to recovery.
It really does. I mean, it may sound like we're talking silly numbers if we say 500 dirhams, but that could be your minimum payment on something. That's what's going to keep you afloat. So yeah, you have to be totally clear-eyed, totally honest, list it all out, list all your income, and then start looking at your budget and where can you make savings. Now, most of us can make savings. We may not want to, and that's the thing, but it's short-term pain for long-term gain. That's what we're talking about. So you cut out those brunches. You stop the spending. You think twice about what you're buying to eat. You can, for many of us, we can be saving a couple of thousand dirhams a month. Now, that may not be an awful lot in the grand scale, but that could be enough to start to make sure that you can make all your minimum payments, to start building up a bit of an emergency fund, to make some additional payments, to start reducing things down. So, but you've got to be very honest with yourself. And it's not a nice thing to do. It's not going to make you particularly happy, but you may feel better once you've faced up to it all.
Maybe just a little element of control as well when you feel like everything's spiraling. The person I shared their story coming out of America about how they recovered from $30,000 of debt starting off as a student. When he got the reality check, when that house of cards all came tumbling down at once, he said, I slashed personal purchases expenses down to things that I actually needed and nothing more. I clipped coupons to save on groceries. I installed CFL light bulbs and adjusted my thermostat and shaved close to 20% off my home energy bill. I got rid of my home telephone service and saved even more. I cut back on my cell phone plan and cable TV channel package and cut costs there as well. I busted my tail at my job to qualify for more sales bonuses and other incentives. As a result of the all-out assault on my debts, I was able to dig myself out of the mess in just under 3 years. And that's the thing, you know, we think 3 years, it's too long, but actually it's doable. You could be in a much better place this time in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, that's very commendable to actually do that. Now, obviously, we've got slight limitations here. It's not always possible to increase income. You can't really take on part-time jobs. That doesn't work. But reducing the outgoings, and maybe you've got things in your house that you can sell. There's a huge market in secondhand goods here, whether it's clothes, shoes, furniture, electronics. There's normally someone that will take things off your hand. And yeah, it's a little bit, takes a bit of time and a bit of effort to do that. But there's lots of channels and Facebook groups and websites where you can do that. And it may be that if you really focus and have a good old declutter, which is a very kind of a trendy word this year, isn't it, the decluttering thing, have a clear out. What have you got that you don't need? Maybe do a flea market, something like that. Raise some cash there. That could be a bit of a buffer that will make you feel good about it because you've made some real effort and you've raised a few thousand dirhams from things that you didn't need anyway.
People feel under pressure to keep up appearances, and you know, we are a designer city, but the idea that, you know, downscale the type of car that you're driving, even going to rental if you think it adds up and makes it cheaper for you.
It may work in the short term, maybe not in the long term, but in the short term. And we've got to look at the short term here. If it may be that you don't need to have two cars in your household, that you have one car instead of two. And then if the other person needs to get around and the other person's got the car, it could be cheaper overall on a monthly basis to use taxis or use the metro if that's near you. Mm. Okay, it's a bit more effort, maybe not as convenient, but you do that for a period of time. That could be saving you considerable amounts of money.
A couple of people have said, you know, downsizing property. We've done that in the last 3 years and it's really helped and really made a difference. Also cash flow, you know, the amounts of checks that you're having to pay, you know, whether it's a yearly or if it's monthly, so you can manage your finances on a monthly basis can help too.
It's just planning and being very clear-eyed about it. Consider where you shop. Plan out your weekly budgets. I mean, it's mundane stuff, but rather than shopping daily for things, and anyone that's done that will know that it's very easy for extra things to fall into your basket. But if you meal plan and be organised and structured, you'll actually spend a bit more time at the beginning, have more time at the end, and save money.
So be honest with yourself. Be realistic. You know, honest is actually the more important there. And plan. And be disciplined. What about the credit bureau? Tell us about this.
Well, that's been the Al Etihad Credit Bureau has been up and running a while now, and it is really starting to make a difference. What this does is basically keep a record, information that's given by the banks and shared around, of the debts that people have and how good or otherwise they are at paying. So it's keeping a record of not just the debts that you have and your liabilities, but whether you are a good payer. Are you regularly late? That kind of thing. And this information is now being used by the banks when they're underwriting credit, so loans and credit cards, to see if someone is overcommitted and if they have a good record. So that there's two things there. So there's the, if you have a good record, then, and you do need to borrow, let's say it's for a good reason, you need to get a new car, getting a mortgage, this could affect your interest rate. You could get a better interest rate because you've got a good record and vice versa. And the idea also being that over time, what we'll stop seeing is people who are spending something like 90% of their income servicing debts. And this is something that we see regularly on the debt panel at the National. We have the columns on that every week. It's people that have shocking amounts of debt, quite frankly, compared to their income. The amount of times we've seen people whose monthly earnings are 15,000 dirhams and they're paying 12,000 in debts. That's outrageous. You know, how do you live? That's a really, really hard one to get out of. But so to stop that kind of thing happening. Now, to be fair, the banks need to play along here and stop increasing people's credit cards. because that's not helping the situation.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned before about the example out of the States and the amount of credit cards and using them, and then, you know, he couldn't meet the minimum payments, so they were stopped. Is that the case here? I mean, at what point will a bank stop your spending on a credit card?
Well, once you've maxed it out, but unfortunately some then increase the limits, and I think many of us will suddenly realise that our credit limits are way higher than they initially were. Certainly mine seems to increase on a regular basis, and I haven't asked for it and I don't need it. So that happens. Now, if you take on a debt, it is individual personal liability. There's no question about that. But the banks need to help out. They need to play along as well and try and limit that and stop randomly increasing limits, to look twice at the people that they're giving credit cards to, and to make sure that people really understand the consequences, because I don't think anyone reads the small print. If you look at the small print, it's all in there, what the liability is and what you're signing for. And it's often people that are filling out forms in a second or third language that don't fully understand what can happen. So the banks need to take responsibility on that side of things, as well as the individual.
Reduced income, same expenses, divorce, poor money management. They are some of the reasons why people might get into debt. Also on this list that I'm looking at, gambling, medical expenses, spending too much online, secret spending, saving too little or not at all, no money communication skills, banking on a windfall. So always, you know, thinking the money will come in, I'll spend now in the hope that the money will come later, and financial illiteracy. Yep, there's some of the reasons why people get into debt. Now, some of you are texting in regarding situations of if you're in so much trouble and you need to leave the country to avoid prison, what's the situation? And actually, can you cancel a visa and leave the country with a debt if you fully intend to keep paying that debt off? We'll address that and more with Karen in a few moments. Talking to Karen Bobka, financial consultant and senior partner with Holborn Assets, and we're looking at debt and how to manage debt to work your way out of it. You started off this segment talking about situations where, you know, it spirals one thing after another, and over a period of time you get into a position where you might have a police case against you, and you know, bouncing a check, somebody was asking, is it any amount of money, that check, if you bounce it, that would be a criminal offence?
In theory, if the person who is owed the money wants to pursue that, I should mention that if you do bounce a check, it's down to the person who you were paying it to follow that up. They don't have to. If they choose not to and you contact them and say, look, I'm really sorry, I'm going to pay you off over 3 months, here's some cash, then they may go, okay, fine, let's just deal with it nicely.
Yeah.
But if you're hiding from a problem, then someone's more likely to be difficult about it. So it is down to the person, the payor, who's going to follow that through.
Okay, so it's a criminal offence, but it is down to the person if
it
they
is with
to
checks.
Follow it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you are reneging on payments, bank loans, credit cards, etc., you could get yourself into serious trouble. But it is a process, and you were saying earlier, and if you've just tuned in and you want to hear the show in full, it will be podcast. You'll be able to pick it up in the next hour or so on our website at DubaiEye103. And you know, so what we're saying there is that there is a process, and actually along that process, which seems incredibly stressful and scary, there are moments where you will be able to pull back and hopefully rectify a situation if you know what you're doing and if you're being sensible with the cash that is at hand.
Yeah. It's this whole thing about, you know, not running away from it. I mean, even if you're in a really bad situation, paying something is better than nothing. Your bank might be more amenable than you think. You have to ask. I mean, quite often they will say, okay, fine, we understand that you've got debts, but it's not a crazy amount, but you're struggling now because, you know, income's reduced, change of job because of redundancy. They may well reschedule for you. You have to ask. But if you approach a bank and say, look, this is the situation, can you do this for me? I think in most cases you are going to get a much better response than just not paying and then coming up 3 months later and going, well, I'm broke, I can't do anything. That's not going to help. But if they know that you want to do something and you're working with them, then I know of many cases where the banks have been quite amenable, rescheduled, and that's allowed someone to get back on an even footing over time.
Someone's texting here about can you cancel your visa and leave the country with a debt if you fully intend to keep paying it off?
Yes, it can be done. That's a tricky one, really. It depends on the debt and what the bank thinks you're going to do. We all know that bank accounts are frequently frozen if someone leaves a job, because an employer is supposed to write final salary on the last payment that goes through. And that's a red light for a bank to freeze an account so that debts are actually met. Now, if someone then cancels a visa and then leaves the country, unless the bank has taken action or they think that you are going to abscond and leave a debt behind, they can apply for a travel ban. That does not happen that often, but it's if they think you are going to do a runner, quite literally. But again, there are people who have left who have carried on paying a debt. It is perfectly possible to do so from elsewhere. You just have to be a little careful about your timing there.
Can you come back to the UAE?
Yeah, if you have a debt, yes, unless it's not been paid and a police case is registered. And that's what I've seen. Actually, I've had quite a lot of emails about this over the last couple of months. So people have left because they've had problems with the job, not paid anything while they've been out of the country, and then want to come back. And even though they have the intention to pay, there's a police case registered. And what that means is that as they enter, it's going to show up on the immigration system and they are going to get pulled to one side and they're not going to get into the country. That's serious. So you can't just go away and go, oh, I'm back now. Well, now I'll start paying it. No, you have reneged on your legal obligations that you have signed. You must deal with that.
If you have had difficulty, but you have paid everything and all is clear, and then you leave the UAE and want to come back, but there was a case, but it's all been sorted. There is paperwork. There are things that are documents that have been signed. So you make sure you've got the correct paperwork with you.
Yeah, get the copy. When you pay off a loan or a debt or a credit card with a bank, you have an option to get a letter from them. Now, from memory, I think there's a fee of no more than 150 dirhams to get from the bank that confirms that all debts are paid off. I would strongly recommend that everybody do that. Just in case things aren't registered in the system, errors do get made. So you have got that in writing to prove that there's not an issue.
Do check out Karen's blog. Lots of information there, Financial UAE. But briefly, Karen, you know, that snowball effect, just to clarify, if somebody's listening to this thinking, I'm just overwhelmed and I'm frozen with fear, how to pay, how to make those first steps to get yourself on the other side.
Right, okay, obviously number one is keep making those minimum payments. That I can't stress how important that is, because that keeps everyone on your side. If you can look at rescheduling, then that may be an option for you, but you have to pay the debts down. Paying interest on credit cards and paying the minimum is never going to reduce anything. It's just wasting your money. So you have to think about, what are you going to do first? If you've got a number of cards, which one do you focus on? I would suggest that you look at what the interest rates are and you start paying down slowly, if need be, the one with the highest rate of interest. So even if you're paying a little bit over the minimum each month, in time that will start making a difference and you'll start paying down the debt. So you deal with the highest interest rate, get that paid off. When that's done, tick it off. Fantastic. On to the next one. It's a process. It's not an overnight process, but slowly, slowly you can get them paid off and then destroy the damn things.
You've seen it happen. You've seen people recover.
Yes. Yes, it can be done. And I'm not saying it's easy and I'm not saying it's painless, and you may have to forego quite a few pleasures along the way, but you will feel very, very happy with yourselves once you're back in that situation, and you will not want to be there again. Credit cards can be a good thing. They are a tool, but they must not be allowed to manage us and not be just be building up, because that's a mug's game.
We started the hour off talking first on your list of financial priorities, the emergency fund. I know that some people are in difficulty financially with debt that's much bigger, you know, that they're big and serious debts going on there, and for various reasons, whether it's business has gone wrong or property that's not worked out. But actually, if you start with that emergency fund and just have that buffer, what did you say? 3 months of...
A minimum of 3 months outgoings.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all your outgoings. So your rent and your bills and your debts, etc. Yeah.
So if there's that swerve ball in life that comes your way, whether it's a redundancy or, you know, I hope it not, but, you know, a divorce or whatever, there's something there at least. If you're living beyond your means, if you're living month to month with nothing left over at the end of it, it's precarious. You're in a precarious position.
And it's very stressful and it's very worrying, and nobody wants to live their life like that. I do think that in most cases, these things can be tackled. Sometimes you need someone else to sit down because they're more clear-eyed. As you said before, you can get very emotional about it and it feels terribly overwhelming. But sometimes having a third party saying, this is what you can do, you have to do this, and then you can go off with your checklist and start working through that process.
Karen Bodka, thank you very much for your time today. Do check out Karen's blog, Financial UAE. You can connect with her via the blog as well. But for now, Karen Bodka, financial consultant and senior partner with Holborn Assets. Until next month, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.